As you said to me off air, if the travelling community were all as wealthy as they're made out to be, this family would not have been living in Carrickmines.
They would not have been living. They wouldn't be asking the council for, you know, fire extinguishers. They wouldn't be begging the council for something more suitable. These poor people had any way of affording anything other than a council-built halting site. I'm sure to be here and alive today.
How did these tragic deaths impact on the wider community? How has it impacted on you?
There was a lot of hurt, anger, dismay. It was a lot. And, you know, when people take to social media about the fire, or there was a small minority, you know, the travelling community or the settled community, that were putting sick memes up, you know, jokes about caravans going on fire. 10 people lost their lives in a fire, you know. Most of them, which were children. Babies. The youngest was a 5-month-old baby, and there was a pregnant lady in that fire. And all they can think about is what wrong the traveller done on them. So is this what way a traveller should be repaid then for other travellers? For the small group of the travelling people that should be burned out of caravans and halting sites? It's not right.
There was an anticipation that there would be several thousand members of the travelling community, as much as 2,500 coming from England. Where did this all come from then?
Prejudice. You're judging the traveller again. You're just judging, oh Jesus, they're going to come in their tens and their thousands. You know, Wexford closed their doors. I walked along the main street. There was stock take, reservations only, barricaded car parks. You know, pubs locked up, and you can see these locals knocking the door to get in. And I'm standing there in a town that I was born, bred and reared in all of my life, that I was so proud to say that I was from. And I'd walk through the main street with pride, you know. And any time I went on any outings up to Cork or whatever with a group of people, I'd always wear my Wexford jersey. I'm ashamed of that Wexford jersey now. I'm ashamed to even say that I'm from Wexford, because Wexford is the talk of the whole of Ireland. The pubs and the shops that got extra security, even the banks had extra security. What did you think these people were going to do?
You remember when a community arrived not far from where we are at the moment, and there was widespread reaction there. But do you think it was born out of fear of what happened when the last big huge travelling group...
That was in 2002.
Do you not accept that the memories of that perhaps caused a little bit of fear, plus the fact that there was the impression there were several thousand going to arrive?
The last thing they were doing was going to come over in caravans and stay for a holiday. Wexford is not all that welcoming that they wanted to stay at, and the people couldn't wait to go.
So there was never going to be 5,000 to 10,000 members in the area. That was never going to be the case.
No, there weren't even that. The very few that came weren't even that welcomed here. You know, they couldn't wait to get out of Wexford.
I want to reflect what the Morning Mix listeners in Southeast Radio are saying this morning, rather than you just thinking it's my opinion, because I'm trying to voice the opinion of the people who are sending me in the comments. Owen says, "Hi Alan, 270 jobs announced for the Southeast. Yeah, Tipperary, Waterford and Kilkenny, when the real Southeast Wexford is forgotten once again." Colin says, "Does the minister realise how frustrating it is for a 26-year-old who has stayed in college to the max, great qualifications, only job bridge or internship? It is soul destroying. I so not want to be on social welfare. I want a full-time job but cannot get one. It's very depressing. I cannot listen to this interview." And that comes from Colin. Why did he come to Wexford when he has no jobs for us? Why didn't he go to Kilkenny to announce this? Is he making fun of the people in Wexford by coming here today to announce jobs and not giving jobs to Wexford? So they're the views, not of me, Minister, but of the listeners this morning. What is your response to John, Colin and Owen?
Well, I suppose the first thing is to say, of the 25,000 additional jobs that have been created, 95% of them have not been on schemes of any sort. These are jobs in companies, standalone companies and enterprises and small businesses that are going their base. And those are real employment opportunities. The live register in Wexford has dropped by 4,000 people. So, you know, unemployed people are getting benefit from this growth in employment. Well, we believe we need to do better.
But could you answer, Owen, Colin, could could you answer Owen, Colin, and...
You're criticising me for sitting down with the local authorities, with the education boards, with the Institutes of Education, and working out individual actions and plans that they will take...
I'm not criticising you for that. I appreciate the work you're doing there. I'm asking you to answer directly the questions that have come from Colin, Owen, and the other young man, John. These are the questions I want answered. They are insulted by you coming to Wexford today to announce 270 jobs for elsewhere when you're not bringing direct jobs to Wexford this morning. And that is the mood of the Morning Mix listeners this morning, Minister.
Yeah, look, I'm coming to the region to
This is about Hayne Grows and of early in the morning. You had to ring out in the van. Oh, about the window. The cowboy's head and drive up be a signpost and let me off it. It's supposed to be bad luck if you don't do that.
That was you, Kyle, was it? That was you. You laughing, Kyle.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was you that told the story, James.
Yeah.
But we want the full story. What was that story?
Well,
you can tell it again. I don't mind.
If a hen crows...
Yeah?
...says a hen is not supposed to crow, it's only a cock is supposed to crow. And then... you have to ring him up in your car or van... And if you see a lamppost or a signpost, I'm out. And let me have it.
I'd have the animal cruelty people on this morning. And where did that come from? Where did that story come from?
Back of his head, I said.
Yeah. Yeah, right there, yeah.
The general public realise that it's absolute nonsense that two guards would bring me to Limerick last night. I spent 2 hours there. I'm let out. And obviously I had train back up. Claire Daly then was brought down about 8 hours behind me, brought down in there for a short while and let go as well. I mean, you'd wonder, where's the giant up thinking?
And how did you feel? Were you fearful going down to prison? How did you feel on the journey? What did you expect?
Come here. 30 days in prison. I mean, it meant I was going. They told me. I asked them when I was arrested. Was I likely to be held for Christmas? And they said very doubtful. So I said, right, okay. I mean, I wasn't liking the prospect of this. You know, no one wants to be in prison. And I'd say particularly at Christmas time. But at the same time, I mean, there's no way would I pay the fine on principle.
Like, there are people who will agree with you. There are many of them on social media who have come out in support of you. But there are others who actively condemn you and say that you did, in fact, breach the law. You broke the law. There was other ways of doing this without breaching security. Do you not accept that view as well, that there are people
I
who feel...
Because we were trying to inspect the planes, right? And we've highlighted the fact that this shouldn't be happening. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to break bad law in order to make a point. And listen, I heard the Minister for Health on yesterday even about his elected TD is breaking the law. He doesn't seem to have a problem that international law has been broken in Shannon every day.
Do you think as lawmakers that you should be breaking the law, which in effect is what you've done?
Listen, if bad law is never broken, nothing ever changes in society.
I think everybody was in shock, so we were just there in front of him, and this woman just brushed by us, so she was probably in the same position. She was going into the gates to go into the tube, and then he produced a knife and it kind of came towards us, but he actually went for her, but he went for her neck, but the blade was up his sleeve, and it was like the blade was like drenched in blood, and he missed her neck, but he kept jabbing towards, and we were there for it all, and we kind of started to panic, but a man started shouting at us, not safe, not safe.
So you, thanks be to God, managed to escape from him. Would you describe this as perhaps the most frightening experience in your life?
It was horrible. We definitely thought, we discussed it afterwards, we were all in shock for a long, long time, that we were going to die, one of us was going to die, or one of us was going to be stabbed.
Would you describe him as deranged? How would you describe his mood? How would you describe?
I never looked into his eyes, to be honest with you. I didn't. One of the girls hadn't. She said he looked in a bit of a daze. But again, like, I don't know. I just looked at the knife and I could see him. He was a really tall man, like, probably quite a fit person, well able to run if he wanted to. He was making a lot of movement.
Thankfully, you're okay. You have family and friends here in Wellington Bridge. Have you managed to be in contact with them? How soon did you get in contact with them to let them know you're okay? Of course, it wouldn't have even broken as a news story then, so they were hearing it for the first time from you, weren't they?
Yeah, well, I rang my brother and my parents all separately because I was afraid to worry them.
You got to perform with the likes of McCartney, Lionel Richie, Sean Ryder, Alexandra Burke. But the one I want to talk about is Pavarotti, because for you, this must have been the ultimate, was it?
It was on a whole new level. But I'll never forget the day. We did a concert in Hyde Park. There was about 100,000 people turned up. And we'd been sat. There was myself and Charlotte Church, actually, that were due to do like a performance with him at the end of the night. It was the drinking song, the Brindisi. That one. So we sat waiting for the rehearsal. The rehearsal was meant to be at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock came and went. 2 o'clock came and went. Three. And we're like, what was this? Is this going to happen? And then eventually at 4 o'clock, so the little Italian chap with a little curly moustache knocked on my dressing room door. Mr. Pavarotti is now ready to see you for the rehearsal. So off we toddled, Charlotte and I, and we were made to sit and wait. It was like a little waiting area before we went to see the great man himself. And the chap pointed, he says, please wait here while I go to see the maestro for the rehearsal. And he walks in, and 10 minutes later he came out. Mr. Pavarotti is now ready to see you both. So we walk in, and Luciano was sat on this big bench, and he's swayed in this massive white towels, and his black beard was glistening amidst this kind of swathing of towels. And he looked at me and he said, you sit here. Mm-hmm. So I sat down to the left of him, and then he pointed to Charlotte and he said, a pretty lady, and you sit here. And then he took this big deep breath, inhaled this huge breath of air. When I point to you, and he pointed to me, you sing. And then he looked over to Charlotte. And when I point to you, you will sing. End of rehearsal.
You have a lot of family support here at the moment.
I have the best family in the world.
Now, as we look out your window, Mr. O'Connor, we can see the river flowing down there behind you.
Yeah.
How bad did this get for you? How high did it come?
It came up to there, to the height of the wall, was it?
They have to dredge the river and put up these new walls or whatever they're going to do, because flood walls, flood barriers, because it's gone to a stage now, it's a laugh, like, really. It's gone on too long now. And
I lost my insurance. I had no insurance, and you gone back. Against flood, now. I had my house insured, but not against flood. And I got back after 5 years only, no length ago. And how much had I to pay for my insurance?
Triple.
She have a house and a garden out in Lambrian. And you could fit this house in 2 or 3 times, and her insurance not a year's mine. I still have to get that. This house back the way I had it.
I hope you manage to do it.
I hope so.
You will,
ma'am. And I have this house shining all the time. I never stop cleaning it and doing it. It's terrible to look at the way it is.
Jazz, news and your views.
All right, I hope I'm not a misprint. What would you do for two bulging dicks leaning on a nerve? I think it's discs. It's discs.
Don't ask me.
You don't want to take that question, do you, Nicola?
No.
Two bulging discs.
That's a more of a medical thing.
A medical thing.
Yeah, you can ask me about arthritis or fibromyalgia or whatever.
And I can imagine somebody with the disc pain. I know there was a misprint in the text, but there's a serious side to this as well. And can you imagine on a nerve, anything like that is going to cause a lot of pain, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, stop now. I think with that, I think with things like discs, I don't know a huge amount about them, but... This is terrible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, dear. I can't think. I've lost the ability to think.
Okay. Let me take a song for everything.
Are we sure? Are we live at the minute?
Bicycles, first introduced in the 19th century, and well over a billion have now been produced. The basic shape has changed very little, but many details have changed over the years, and yet our love affair with the bicycle remains stronger than ever. How many of us have woken on a Christmas morning down through the years, hoping that Santa had brought us a bicycle? It happened to yours truly, and I was so excited that for the first few nights I refused to put it in the shed, but instead parked it at the end of the bed, dreaming of being the next Sean Kelly or Stephen Roach. But in Enniscorthy, something different, something new, something strange is happening. I'm about to tackle my first ever motorised bike, but before I even attempt to cycle this, I'm joined by Pat Fitzgerald. Pat, there's so much talk about this new development within biking. Can you explain what's going on here?
Well, Alan, what's happening at the moment is we're fitting engines that we acquired onto existing bicycles. And it's been quite successful. We've been at it for the past 6 years approximately.
And if you were to assemble one of these, what goes into it, Pat?
We have one running here at the moment that we just assembled, and my young lad has just tested it. So it's good to go, Alan, if you want to try it. Alan, the bikes have been modernised, the frame sizes have changed, and they have introduced suspension in different parts of it. But going back to a standard bike, the standard bike is the ideal bike for these engines to be fitted to.
And what's the legal aspect of this at the moment, Pat?
The legal aspect has changed. Up to now, we've been always selling them as off-road bicycles, but up to now, people in the locality have been using them on-road, and the Gardaí have taken note, and people that are messing with them have been stopped and warned, and at least one has been in court because of it.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Was there anything else we need to know technically about a pack?
Well, technically, they're a simple two-stroke engine, and most people that are into their strimmers and their lawnmowers and everything else can maintain these. They're quite simple and very, very effective and fairly trouble-free. My son, Brendan.
All right, Brendan.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you in a second. Yeah. So, Brendan, I'm going to get up on this bike here now. So, up we get. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervy, so will you guide me on this?
I'll guide you.
Now, so, the ultimate thing is to go a bit slow, isn't it?
Yeah. Give her a small bit of a rev. And a small bit of a pedal. To start off.
Okay.
Touch slowly.
Yeah, oh, Ginny Mac, Pat. Oh, yeah. And we're off, yeah. This is absolutely brilliant. How fast can I go on this?
About 25 miles an hour.
25 miles an hour? Right, we'll take her steady now. We're just coming around the corner here now.
Around the window, up the road.
For a second there, I thought I was going to take off there, Pat. Okay, how am I doing so far?
You're not doing too bad. Loud touch, and you're up the road. Not a bother on it.
Off we go. This is actually exhilarating. This is riveting. Okay.
Yeah, you're going well.
Okay, going well.
Not a bother.
Right. I might stop her there for a second. Oh, my goodness. And thank you for running alongside me there.
Not a bother at all.
Yeah. I might let you drive her back if you don't mind.
That's all right, Alan. Cheers. Yeah. Thank you.
Patrick was no bother to Alan. You look like a master at it.
I look like a very frightened master, if you don't mind me saying so.
Oh, no,
great stories already about this bike. Tell me about the lad in Scotland.
Well, the lad in Scotland, a couple of years ago, Alan, he bought one off us, and his idea was he was going to put a trailer behind the bicycle, put his fishing rods in the trailer, and go across the mountains a couple of miles to go fishing in the lakes.
An incredible
and
story.
And he did that.
So what is the legal aspect of owning a bike like this, and what do you need to do? Do you have to have a tax insured, or what's the current situation?
Well, I really don't know that, because in the papers last week it said that they were illegal. The guy had been convicted in court. However, one of the sergeants had made a statement that the Gardaí should be contacted in each case because some of them may be legal. This appeals to many people, even people that have dodgy hips or knees or whatever. They want to go for a bit of exercising. They can cycle the bike without the engine running on the flat, and then if they want to get over a hill or a mountain, they turn on the engine and that assists them getting over the mountain. and then they're back on the flat again.
Time to get back on the bike again.
Okay, Alan, go for your last trip there now and enjoy it.